We're always grateful for everyone who takes the time to come out to the meetings. We'll look at a verse here in Genesis and chapter 4. Genesis in chapter 4, I think most everyone here, from the children up, know the background of the story here. So we'll break in at verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? Now I want you to consider these next couple of words that verse 7 starts out with, because this is the key here. If thou doest well. God is giving him a second chance, isn't he? God's coming in and saying, Cain, yes, you slipped up, but I'm going to give you a second chance. If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. Move your book over to your Bibles over to Exodus. And this is another well-known story. Exodus in chapter 12, and if I was to ask my Sunday school students what's here, they already know it's the Passover. Exodus in chapter 12, so we'll break in at verse 13 just to grab context. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Move back into Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. And I think the background is again known here. It says Abraham taking his son Isaac to offer him upon the altar. And as they're walking up the mountain, Isaac notices something pretty peculiar, something very different. He never really seen a sacrifice like this before. So we break into verse 7. This is Isaac's observation. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But here's the title of my message. But where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. If there's something that I want you to remember, if you forget everything else that I say while I'm up here for the next several minutes, is this question in your life. Where's the lamb? Think about that. Move back over to Genesis in chapter 4, and you notice Cain and Abel are brought into this world. And Cain and Abel have been taught by Adam and Eve that sin had come into this world. There was an environment they knew nothing of, and that was of a world where there was no sin and everything was perfect. Nothing had to die. There were no thorns. It was a beautiful relationship that they had with God, and as far as the way they felt totally like they meant something and there was a reason for life and life didn't feel empty. But now that sin came in, there was not only an extra labor load that was placed upon them. There were not only the thorns that were introduced. There was not only the pain of childbearing that was there. There was not only fear and shame that had come into this world, but a sense of uselessness shadowed their life. And in all of that, Adam and Eve would turn and teach their children, Cain and Abel, in order for things to be right with God, it won't be right without a lamb. It won't be right without a lamb. You say, where do you find that in Genesis? Because I had somebody actually challenge me with that. Where do you find in Genesis that Cain and Abel knew they were supposed to bring a lamb? Well, I'll tell you where I find it in Genesis. I find it in Genesis chapter 4. How is it that Abel knew he was supposed to bring a lamb? He brought a lamb. He knew he had to bring a lamb. He had to learn that from somewhere. And it would have been from his parents. That's where he learned it. Mom and dad had taught him, God requires a blood sacrifice, and here's the lamb. And he's not going to require second best, Abel. He's going to require the best of what you have. And you lay it upon the altar and you offer it up to God. Because sin is a serious thing. Where's the lamb, Abel? He could go among his flocks. And he could look upon each one of them. And he had a relationship between him and those lambs, those sheep. Almost like a child would have with a dog or a pet in their house. And as he would go through them, he would scan and he would find the one. This is the best one. Can I just suggest to you that it was probably the one that was most painful for Abel to let go of? The one he had the strongest heart connection with. The one that was the best out of all of them. You might say, as you look at a litter of pups and there's one that just calls out your attention and it just draws your heartstrings above all the others, that's the lamb that Abel is pulling out, and it's going to be sacrificed. He's going to give it up. There's going to be a sense of his emotion that's going to feel lost and left behind. But if this is what God demands, then that's what he's going to give. And he's going to come, Abel, where's your lamb? Where is the lamb? He's going to bring the best of what he has before God. He's going to put it on the altar. But move your attention over to Cain. Cain is going to try to appease God's anger against sin his own way and without blood. I'm going to bring of the fruit of the ground something unto the Lord. Oh, and he probably brought of the best he had. I don't know what he brought. And I can't tell you that I'm an expert on fruits and vegetables, so pardon me. But he probably would have brought the best of the fruit that he had grown. And he brings it together in a basket, and there he puts it on the altar. And what does God see? God sees a bloodless sacrifice. There's no blood. Cain, where's the lamb? It's not there. Can I just make an application here? To each one of our hearts. Without the blood and without the lamb, there is no acceptance with God. Without the blood and without the lamb, there is no acceptance with God. In your life, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And you say, well, I know I can't get to heaven with my good works, and I know I can't get to heaven with my baptism, and I know I can't get to heaven with church attendance. I already know all those things because they're bloodless things. Without the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I cannot enter into heaven. And young person here today, child, listen, you know that because you've been born and raised with the privilege of hearing the gospel since your youth. So listen very carefully. You already know that good works will never get you to heaven, and church attendance will, because there's no blood in any of that. But as I apply it to you, I apply it to myself before I was saved. There was a part of me that when I heard this message, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what I was trying to do? I was trying to work up belief. It was my works, as it were. I was trying to gather enough belief. And I figured if I had enough belief gathered together, then I could present my belief to God. And somehow or another, that would be my first step into believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I remember those days. It was almost like as if I was trying to put together a bloodless sacrifice before the Lord. And God had to stop me in my tracks at 10 years old and say, Glenn, where's the lamb? It's not all about you trying to gather together as much belief as you can and put your bloodless fruit on the altar. That's not what it is. You know my story well. It was when I stopped trying to get saved and trying to pull together all of my belief to present to God as a basket full of fruit. It was when I let go and I allowed God to show me the truth that Christ died for me is when I understood it. So my salvation, there's not an ounce of it that I can take credit for. It was all Christ. It was all the Holy Spirit of God who showed me the reality of what Christ did. It was all him. So if you're not saved today and you've been born and raised in a Christian home or you've been exposed to the gospel all of your life, listen very closely. Don't fall into the same trap I did of trying to bring the basket of fruits and trying to collect as much of that faith together as possible and put it before God and think somehow or another that's going to be pleasing. Let me just leave the question with you. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Move over to Exodus in chapter 12, and there you have the Passover, and you have the firstborn that is there. And you know what? That would be a question that would be on the mind of that firstborn, because God had said, without the lamb, if you come through and there's no blood on that door, then he's going to strike. The predominant question on the mind of the firstborn inside of that house would have been, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? That would have been at the top. It wouldn't have been, if you were to relate it to nowadays, what's the latest movie that's out there? What's the latest toy? Or what's the latest thing that people are talking about? The latest thing on the news, that wasn't on the mind of the firstborn. What was predominantly on the mind of the firstborn was, where's the lamb? That firstborn remembers when the father went out and got the lamb and brought it and kept it for 4 days. And throughout the 4 days, as soon as he would think, where's the lamb? He'd remember, it's right outside the door. It's right there. And then he'd be doing his own thing. And then throughout the day, it's right there. It's right there. Anytime a doubt or fear came in, it's right there. But then there came the day when that lamb had to die and that blood had to be applied on the door. And now as that firstborn is inside the house and the door is shut and the blood is on the door and he's thinking to himself, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb now? He's dead. Why is he dead? He died for me. He died for me. That's why he's dead. Have you ever considered that that's actually a pretty disgusting thing, to kill a lamb? That's a pretty solemn thing. And especially the way it would have been done back in those days. People would look upon that and they would say, boy, that's cruel. Yes, it is. It's a high price to pay because God was trying to put in their minds that the cost of sin was a high price to pay. It couldn't be paid off by any small little thing over here on the side. It couldn't be paid off by a bloodless sacrifice. It had to be paid off by the death of a lamb. And yes, it's a solemn thing. It's not a small thing to take the life of a lamb. It's not a small thing to take the life of any animal. But God took something like the taking the life of a lamb to show them and to open their eyes to the fact that sin was a serious thing. Can I just stop and say this to the young people here today, to the little ones? Have you ever had a time in your life when you saw that sin was a serious thing? Sin is not some sort of light thing that you can play with on the side. But to see sin as something that is a serious thing, because God sees sin as serious. Yesterday at the conference, our brother was expounding on Miriam. Paul Thiessen was talking about Miriam and the sin that she committed with her lips of speaking evil against God's chosen. And how that God came in and just because of those words gave her leprosy, and the whole congregation stopped for a week. And there Miriam was outside the camp. The severity of sin. Well, they didn't think it was a big deal to talk bad about their brother Moses. Between her and Aaron, God saw it was a big deal. Your opinion against sin or my opinion against sin is not what counts. It's how God sees it, and God sees sin as something that is serious. That's why the lamb, that's why the death, that's why the blood. God wants to communicate sin as a serious thing. I wonder if you've ever had times when it's kept you up at night. I wonder if you've ever had times when it's bothered you at school. I wonder if you've ever had times when through the day you're sitting there in a contemplative mood and all of a sudden it comes into your mind, my sin, my sin, my sin, it's taking me down to hell and I have no peace. That's the Holy Spirit of God working with you. When you come to that point in your life, that's the Holy Spirit of God working with you. Where's the lamb? But we come to Genesis in chapter 22, right where the title of the message is. We have the young man who's saying, where's the lamb? It's Isaac himself. And here we have a lesson of substitution. Why? Because it was Isaac who was supposed to be on that altar. And it was Isaac who was supposed to pay the price. And at the moment Isaac is saying, where's the lamb? He's the one who's supposed to die that day. Because God had said, it's Isaac. It's Isaac. Abraham, go offer thy son Isaac upon the altar. You know, Abraham had a very sincere desire to have a right relationship with God. And you know how I know how sincere that desire was? Because God put it to the test. And God touched the most precious part of his life, his son. And God said, give it to me. Put him on the altar. And now Abraham is going to decide between something that is so precious to him, like his son. A gift from God in his old age. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. He has to decide between his son and his God. Which would he decide? Can I just ask you, God's not asking you to offer up anybody on any kind of altar, but I want to just draw an example from here. How badly do you want God's salvation? How badly do you want a relationship with God? How badly do you want things right between you and God? What is it that's between you and God that you have trouble giving up? That you have trouble saying, if I get saved, I'm not going to be able to do this, or I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to do the other thing. Can I just stop and say this? If you don't get saved, you're not going to be able to go to heaven. Can I stop and say this? If you don't get saved and you come across problems in life, you won't be able to call upon God because he's not your father. So what about everything else this world has to offer? If you ever come to the point where there's nothing this world could ever offer, you want the most important thing you want is the Lamb of God. Where's the Lamb? Where's the Lamb? God is testing Isaac and saying, are you going to take the most important thing of your life and give him up for me? Are you willing to do that? Abraham was willing to do that. He was willing to go to the altar and lay his son there and to bind him, to go through all of the motions. It wasn't good enough for God just to see them get to the top of the mountain. It wasn't good enough for God just to see them build the altar. It wasn't good enough for God just to see them, Abraham, bind his son. It wasn't good enough for God to see Isaac help his father put his body across the top of the altar. And it wasn't good enough for the knife to stay in the pocket. It had to be raised. The action was just about ready to happen when God said stop. The lesson we learn in Genesis 22 is substitution. Because now Isaac can stand next to the altar and he could look upon the sacrifice that is there and he can say, that ram died for me. That ram died for me. Where's the lamb? Can I just tell you? That John in the New Testament could say, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So let me just stop and ask you right now, do you have a relationship with God? I'm not talking about know about him. I know about Donald Trump, never met him. Never been to the White House. I know about Bin Laden, never met him, don't care to. But you could know about people. You could know about God. You could know about the Lord Jesus Christ, where he died. You could know about where he was born. You could answer all the trivia questions over here after 177. You can know all about him. But let me just ask you, do you have a relationship with him? Oh, because it's the most precious relationship this world will ever know is a relationship with its creator, with God himself. Let me just stop and tell you this. If you forget everything else that was said in this platform today, remember this. When it comes to your life, where is the Lamb? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the gift of thy son and his work on the cross for us and for those of us who can truly say that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been applied to our heart's door. And when it comes to the death angel passing and the judgment of God, we can point to the Lamb knowing that he has died for our sin. When it came to that firstborn in Exodus chapter 12, the Lamb had died, the blood was applied, and he would escape the judgment of God that passed through at midnight. But that lamb would never rise from the dead again. That little boy could never hold that lamb like he used to in those 4 days to look into his eyes and to say thanks. Could never rebuild a relationship because the life had been terminated. We come to our Lord Jesus Christ. He died upon the cross of Calvary, and his blood has been applied to our heart's door for those of us who are saved. But we're thankful that he has risen from the dead, and we, as it were, through the eye of faith, can look him in the face and say thanks and build a relationship with the one who was willing to give his all for us. And when we say, where is the Lamb? We realize that he is in our lives and is a real part of it. We're not just knowing about him, but to know the precious Savior. We pray, Lord, for those who are not saved. We pray the Holy Spirit of God will use any little thing that's been said today to wake them up to the reality of what it is to be lost in eternity without Christ, without the Lamb of God. But more importantly, to be able to see for the first time that that Lamb has died He was the one who went on the altar and shed his blood so that they wouldn't have to die. And what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? Lord, we pray that all confusion that the enemy might put within the hearts and mind of anyone here with regard to this question may be eradicated for them to see clearly Christ has died for me. So, Lord, we put this meeting in thy hands, again praying for the conference there in San Diego and thy blessing upon it in thy son's precious name. Amen.